Hello and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben.
Hello.
This isn't just any old Trev and Ben podcast.
No.
This is episode 100 of the Trev and Ben podcast.
Hey!
Little party popper. I thought we'd let off a little party popper as a little celebration.
Hey, I like that.
I haven't been following it, but I'd imagine there's been a real buzz on social media about
oh, yeah.
100th episode.
I've been keeping tabs on it on Twitter.
Have
and
you?
It's trending all the time. There's a lot of this, you know, news about Afghanistan and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But we're always top billing.
Hashtag 100. Is that the
hashtag
sort of thing?
TNB 100. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I did wonder. I'm not really across the whole social media thing, so I wasn't quite sure. So also, this is for any sort of Roman numeral enthusiast, this is episode C.
Okay, how much 100 based material have you got?
A few bits. I researched the number 100 to see what interesting things surround the number 100.
Well, I imagine quite a lot. I mean, decimalization and...
Yeah, obviously that's a big thing.
Percent.
You've gone for the really dull stuff.
That's his big claim to fame, isn't it?
Well, the percent. That's the 100's big thing.
Yeah. So
when it meets with all the other numbers, it goes, but I've got the percent. But any number can be a percent, but I suppose that's like the daddy of the percentage, isn't it?
Yeah, unless you're one of those idiots who says, I give 110%.
Yeah, that's a ridiculous phrase, isn't it? It's like people go, do you remember like when Jeremy Kyle?
Yeah.
When he'd say, are you going to pass the lie detector test? And they go, 1,000%. And then they'd fail. You think, so you went for like the really big percent. You didn't go for the standard 100% that mathematically is the correct percentage. You haven't even gone for like the footballers 110%, where the footballers give a little bit more than is required of them. You've gone for the 1,000% certainty that you're going to pass the lie detector, knowing that you've been fucking someone else in the bushes and you're going to fail.
Yeah, so honesty and maths take quite a bad hit on the Jeremy Kyle show. Yeah. Do you miss the Jeremy Kyle show?
I don't.
Kind of do.
Well, there's a bit of it. I miss watching it with my mate and sort of playing our little games along with it. But I think it become a kind of
freak show.
Yeah, it wasn't a pleasant show to watch in the end, was it, really?
No.
I mean, there was still enough humour that you could get out of it. But I think what happened was I started to actually feel slightly sorry for the people that Jeremy Carr was giving the hairdryer treatment to. I just thought, come on, just calm down, Jesse. You're getting a little bit too het up now. Because I felt Jeremy Carr had got to the point where he was beginning to lose the plot a little bit. And I just thought he's going to lamp someone one day. He was so angry.
He was getting increasingly aggressive, wasn't he?
And I always felt there was a bit of tension between him and Graham, the sort of aftercare manager. Because sometimes he'd call Graham out and he'd say, so what do you think, Graham? And Graham would go, well, I think... And Jeremy Carr would go, no, I don't think that's right at all. all tension on amongst the high profilers.
Yeah, I think Graham was a bit more softly in his approach. And, you know, Jeremy was more... Just, you know, it's my job to stand here and scream at these people until they've got to come and claim the next benefit check.
But they're always 1,000% certain, so it's fine. A couple of other 100 things for you. The old Norse word, hundred, from which our 100 derives, actually originally meant 120. So maybe that's where the extra percentage come from. I'm 100%.
Maybe.
Certain.
Can I say your Norse sounds very similar to your South African?
Very similar though. There's a lot of R rolling. Got 100. I got 100. 100.
So that
now
used
I've got
to
it,
mean...
I'm turning to the Count. 100.
Oh, the Count is by far my favourite Sesame Street character. So that used to mean 120.
The Norse word 100, from which we got 100. Yeah, it's 120. I'd like to know what their word for 100 is.
I don't know. I'm not sure if anyone would really care, would they?
Well, I care. I've suddenly shown an interest.
Well, how would I look that up?
Old Norse word for 100. See what comes up. And while you're doing that, I'll give you another interesting 100 fact for you. The 100th most populated country in the world is Bulgaria.
Wow, you really have spent all day doing this, haven't you?
I wouldn't say all day. A good couple of hours has gone into it.
This just sort of feels to me like a sort of rejected episode of QI.
What do you mean rejected?
Or Sesame Street, going back to the count. You know, today's episode brought to you by the number 100.
I bet they did an episode of that. And I bet they didn't have, I bet they didn't have as many interesting facts about 100 as I bet on Sesame Street they just had like the Cookie Monster at 100 cookies, Big Bird counted 100 feathers, Oscar the Grouch, he had like 100 bits of trash in his can. Kermit would have probably tried to kiss Miss Piggy 100 times.
I don't like that. I don't like the inference of
Kermit kissing Miss Piggy.
Well, no, you said trying to, like Kermit's a sex pest who can't take no for an answer. She's fended him off once, and well, he's going to keep trying.
She was always very sure of herself, Miss Piggy. She would not accept unwanted advances, but I'm not sure which way round it was, though. I might, because I'm not even sure Kermit was really in Sesame Street. I think I've strayed into the Muppets. I've sort of mixed my Jim Henson creations, haven't I?
Yes, I think so. I think I might have done that as well.
But Kermit...
No, I was right. Sesame Street definitely ended the episodes with sponsored by... Oh, no,
they definitely had that. Today's episode was brought to you by the letters Y and R.
Yeah.
And me too. And and the number 100. But no, it was just Piggy and Kermit. My memory of it was that Piggy was more the sex pest in that partnership.
She was very romantically charged, but rarely, sadly, ever in Kermit's direction.
Kermit was almost a bit frightened of Piggy, though, wasn't he?
Well, that's because she used to karate chop him across the screen.
Yeah, she was fucking violent, Miss Piggy, wasn't she?
But whenever there was a...
But sexually oddly, aggressive.
Yeah, she was, but, I don't ever remember her flirting with anyone who wasn't a human being. She never flirted with any of the other Muppets, but when they had like a celebrity guest on the show, she was all over them like a rash.
Yeah, no, she wasn't into Muppet mixing. She was definitely, you know, into humans. That was her thing. If a pig is into humans, in the pig world, is that like bestiality?
I don't know.
Just because that's not normal, but the pig is trying to instigate it. I would imagine in most bestiality scenarios, it's instigated by the human. But in that case, Miss Piggy was very much the instigator. I don't think she ever got anywhere. I mean, humans, from memory, seem to go along with it. The human male was certainly brought into her whiny ways, but I wouldn't have thought there was any sealing of the deals going on.
I'm just going to let you keep talking. I'm fascinated trying to hear you dig your way out of this hole
in. What hole I found myself in?
Well, we were recently talking on the podcast about rule 36 of the internet. If you can think of it, it's someone's fetish.
Yeah.
And you are talking at length about Miss Piggy and bestiality and who instigates what. It's just sounding a bit strange, mate. If I'm being honest, on the 100th episode, for this to be the subject matter. Miss Piggy's sex life.
It's certainly not what I came into the recording with in mind. That's very true. I had all these facts about 100 and we haven't sort of gone into them in much detail yet. But it was just an interesting thought that I'd put out there, that Miss Piggy certainly was the dirtier of the species. Have you found out the old Norse word for 100 yet?
No, all it helped me find was the fact that you came up with.
Right.
That it used to mean 120, and it might mean hundrath.
Hundrath.
But I'm pretty sure that's what you were saying over and over and over again.
Okay. The 100 Years War between England and France actually...
116 years.
116
Boom.
Years. Again, that's the whole percentage, 110%. Like, that war is 116. Why call it the 100 Year War? Did they just think, well, it doesn't have a ring about it. No one's going to be talking about this war if we just call it the 116 Year War. It hasn't got a, you know, 100 Year War. It's got a nice feel to it, hasn't it?
I imagine it was probably named the 100 Years War
after 100 years.
100. I don't think after 116 years someone came up with the idea of let's call it the 100 Years War.
Right, they just didn't save the updated document properly.
Exactly, yeah. So
they just saved the original version, just left it with the 100 Years War. I just wonder whether, you know, like in a football match. A football match is 90 minutes plus injury time.
Yes.
But if you took out all the faffing, all the rolling about, all the time the ball's out of play, you'd probably get, what, 65 minutes of play.
Yeah, probably.
So I wonder if they had like the war went on for 116 years, but there was only actually 100 years of fighting.
Right.
The rest was just faffing, sharpening blades of bayonets, moving cannons about.
Of course, when you it depends who you're watching, doesn't it? I mean, there's probably a lot more faffing about at an Arsenal game. You know, just having to constantly stop the game to scoop the ball out of the back of your net and reset let them go again and then get the ball back out of your net again. And then you've got to put it back and start again. And, you know, and then, you know, all the crowd booing has got to put them off. So they probably have to stop for 5 minute break. And,
You finished?
Yeah, I'm done.
And I suppose at Craven Cottage, they just play about a minute. And then they realise they don't know what football is.
Listen, you can take the piss as much as you want. I am a Fulham fan. I am used to this. You are having to learn to live with this. I've been living with this my whole life.
There are 100 sweat glands in 1 square inch of skin. So there's a lovely little bit of information for you. I mean, that's a lot of sweat glands on an inch of skin. No wonder I sweat so much some days. I'm a big sweater. You know that some people don't seem to sweat?
Prince Andrew.
Yeah, but only during that period of time when things weren't going so, you know, when he was in compromising situations, he didn't sweat. He's sort of over that now, remember? It's just that period of time.
Oh, no, I thought that meant he was impervious to sweat. He never sweated again.
No, I think he sweats now, but I think at that period of time, luckily, some would say, that he was unable to sweat. He had some condition at the time. And
No, you've misremembered that. He was accused of being very sweaty.
Yeah.
And his defence as to why that was impossible was because he was involved in some sort of conflict and it was so stressful to him that he could never sweat again. Therefore, the accusation that he'd been having a sweaty dance with some girl was just not possible because he doesn't sweat anymore.
I'm going to check this out.
You'll find I'm right.
I mean, I never thought I'd put this into my Google search. Can Prince Andrew now sweat? I mean, that's really not... Again, I wasn't sure that was going to happen when we started this recording. No, you're absolutely right. According to this, he's biologically incapable of perspiration because he OD'd on adrenaline.
That's it?
Falklands.
Yeah.
So adrenaline stops you sweating forever.
Well... No, I mean, I don't want to libel Prince Andrew, but I'm pretty sure that's bollocks. I think you need to be able to sweat.
But I don't know. Yeah, because if you don't sweat, I mean, it's the wrong royal brother. But you know, like, I was watching a thing the other day, right, about this little dog that's very tiny. Smaller than a little, what's the really little one that all the stupid sort of high-class women have in handbags?
Chihuahua?
Yeah, yes. So it's smaller than that, but it has huge ears. It lives in the desert. And if it didn't have huge ears, it would just overheat and die. But the ears means it can dissipate heat through its huge ears. So if it was Prince Charles, for example, well, if he couldn't sweat, at least he could dissipate through his ears.
Yeah.
But Andrew's ears, I don't think, are quite as
pronounced
as Prince Charles. But if
so
if adrenaline, if overdosing on adrenaline stops you sweating, I might do some of that because I have terrible. My back sweats a lot.
I get that.
It's horrible.
Yeah, I don't. I like to stick to things.
Stick to things. You get a horrible white stain on any clothing you wear because it's just sweat that's dried. It's always slightly embarrassing. Yeah.
Are you having too much salt?
Maybe I'm just like, I'm a sea creature. and I just, I sweat salt. I don't know.
You're leaving some sort of weird slime trail behind you.
It's like I'm half man, half snail. I leave a little snail trail behind me. In the year 100, the wheelbarrow made its first appearance in China.
I mean, not to, you know... I feel like a bit of a dick doing this, but we're recording a podcast for people to listen to.
Yeah.
And that bit of information is going to go in one ear and out the other. They won't remember that And I think you would. As your co-host, what the fuck do you expect me to do with that information? What am I supposed to say to that?
At the very least, I think you'd say, bloody hell, really? A wheelbarrow in the year 100? I mean, that's quite a thing, isn't it? You'd think a wheelbarrow is a very modern, you know, modern-ish piece of...
Modern? wheelbarrow?
But not like...
Jesus not Christ. Like, do you realise you're talking into a microphone, recording on a computer, you're going to download files, mix this on audio software, and you're ogling at the wheelbarrow as the pinnacle of modern technology?
No, I'm not saying it's modern technology. What I'm saying is I wouldn't have put it that old. I mean, that's really old, isn't it? The year 100.
The wheelbarrow is a glorified bucket on a wheel, three wheels, or one wheel actually.
Yes, one wheel. It doesn't have three wheels. Four, but I don't know. Maybe the original had more than one wheel. I don't know the design of the original wheelbarrow and how different that might be to the modern day, more technically advanced.
Okay, what's your next useless 100 related stat?
In Belgium, 100 is the ambulance and firefighter telephone number.
I didn't know that.
So if you need emergency services in Belgium, I think other countries have 100 as their as the emergency number.
Is it right that there's a sort of universal, is it 112 that you can dial anywhere in the world and be put through to their emergency services?
I think that might be right, you know. I think there, I don't know what it is, but I think, yes, there is a universal number that you can use.
I'm going to try this for the sake of the podcast. If it doesn't work, you can edit it out. But,
right. You're not going to phone it.
Well, no, I'm going to try and cancel the call as quickly as I can because I feel like...
You should be phoning an emergency number at all.
I'm doing a test for the podcast. It's the 100th show.
Do you know?
I have to do something for the listeners.
Do you know what happened to my parents recently? They were driving to go on holiday and they're in the car. A couple of times my mum said to my dad, can you hear a voice? Can you hear talking? And my dad was like, no, I can't hear anything. And my mum thought, I must have just been... she thought that there was bleed through on the radio from another station.
Right? Have you ever seen Cape Fear?
No.
With the person clinging to the bottom of the car.
Well, it turns out that when they finally got to the campsite and put the tent up, that my dad's mobile had fallen out of his pocket and the emergency number had dialed. Because, you know, there's just like an emergency button on the phone.
Yeah.
And it was the police kept phoning him back and sort of shouting down the phone, hello, hello, do you need help? And I think four times it had phoned the emergency services.
How annoying.
During their journey. My mum said that they were sort of partly surprised that when they got to the campsite that they weren't met by police and ambulances. But it's just something to watch out for if you've got a mobile. So
right,
have you
I'm
going to
try this.
Oh God, this isn't good. Just say wrong number if anyone answers.
From memory, it gives you like a 5-second countdown to cancel it. So
I
should be okay. Hey Siri, call 112.
Oh, you're doing it on Siri.
Calling emergency services.
Oh, fuck!
Now cancel.
Cancel. Yeah, it's fine.
Have you cancelled it?
Yeah, it gave me 3 seconds.
Oh, God. That could have been awful.
But I tell you what you can do with that, is you can go up to your friends who aren't aware of that in a pub and say, oh, here's a funny thing. You know, Siri's loaded with these funny little things. You know, you can say, hey, Siri, tell me a joke, and it'll tell you some shit knock-knock joke or something. You go up to your friends in the pub and you say, hey, tell Siri to call 112. And they go, oh, okay. And then watch them blindly smash at their phone, try to cancel the emergency services call. It's great.
Oh, hilarious, Ben.
So, Trev, we are now 100 episodes in.
Yes. Oh, hang on.
Hey! And I think one of my favourite things to do over the last 100 episodes was when we did the moral dilemmas.
Oh, yes. Now, these were always good fun.
So I found a few more of these. I haven't looked at all of them. And I should warn you, I think some of them can be a little bit dark. But, you know, that's often the recipe for a good moral conundrum.
I suppose there has to be some sort of darkness to it because that's where the morals come in.
Yeah. So I thought what I'd do is I'd give you six headings. And I thought maybe you could pick two of them.
Okay.
The titles are The Unfaithful Friend,
ooh,
A Difficult Choice,
ooh,
An Office Theft,
ooh,
Midnight Death,
ooh,
Get Rich,
ooh,
and Telling a Secret.
Ooh.
Which one of those?
I wasn't really listening. I was so busy thinking about my next ooh. I quite like, what was it? An Unfaithful Friend.
The Unfaithful Friend.
The Unfaithful Friend.
Okay, here it is. You ready?
Yeah.
You go out with your husband for dinner. So already we're going to have to swap out husband for wife, I think.
Well, it's 2021, Ben. Let's all be inclusive.
Yeah, I wasn't being uninclusive. I happen to be aware that you're not gay.
Okay, I thought for this scenario we could go along with it, but fine, let's...
How very woke of you. Okay. You go out with
your
husband...
I will not be cancelled.
You go out with your husband for dinner at a new restaurant.
I'm not gay.
You have not...
yeah. Why are you giving me a husband?
You have not frequented this restaurant before. It's in a part of town you rarely visit. You are shocked to see your friend's spouse having dinner with a very young, attractive person.
Ooh.
From the way they're behaving, it's obvious they are more than friends. Mm-hmm. The couple finish their meal and leave without seeing you.
Ooh.
They behave very affectionately on the way out the door.
Do they?
Do you tell your friend, knowing you probably will not be believed and it may ruin your friendship?
Yeah.
Or say nothing about seeing the couple, as it's none of your business.
Yeah.
And they may even have an open relationship.
Well, that's true. It is 2021.
So I like these moral conundrums because I feel it gives us a bit of an insight into what Trev is, what he would do, the sort of person you are.
Well, I've almost...
And I would also say, don't feel obliged to pick those two outcomes. I'd say you just tell me what you'd do.
Well, I came very close to having to think about this scenario once.
Really?
I was out with a friend and we were in a restaurant.
Were you with your husband?
Yeah. It was our first date. And so I'm in this restaurant and I'm talking to my friend. And out of the window, I saw who I thought, because she was a dead ringer, was my friend's, I think then fiancé.
Okay.
With another man.
Right.
And they were holding hands.
Okay.
And I'm sitting there thinking, shit, is that, it really looks like her. And I went through all these scenarios very quickly in my head as I saw them walking towards the door of the restaurant. Because I'm thinking, if it's her, she's going to see me. That's going to be weird. I've now seen her with someone else. Do I tell my mate? What am I going to do? As they got towards the door, I realized it wasn't her. But from a distance, spitting image. And it was one of those awful moments. I've never told my friend this either, because I thought it seemed weird to even tell him.
I'm now paranoid this is me that you've not told.
No, it wasn't you. It was way before I knew you, Ben. You can rest assured that Mrs. Ben wasn't out with someone else. And if she were, I'd be going, good on you, love. You finally hit the jackpot. You can draw a line under the misery that's been the last however many years. And move on. Meanwhile, meet my husband.
You can double date.
See, the thing is, I think there's a bit of me that thinks I'd want to just bury my head in the sand over the whole thing, ignore it, assume that there's a very innocent explanation. How affectionate are they being with each other, do you think? I mean, are they, is there petting going on?
I mean, it doesn't specify, but I think it's basically just to sort of establish that it's not like her brother or,
right,
you know, a work colleague. It's someone she's out with that she shouldn't, right, be out with.
It's very much a Matt Hancock situation.
Exactly.
Going on. Right. Okay. You see, so there's a big bit of me that would want to just bury my head in the sand, pretend I'd not seen it, but then that would eat away at me, this horrible feeling. But then I'd want... Is that enough evidence? Is one sort of experience of seeing this enough evidence to potentially destroy a marriage? There's a bit of me thinks, would I need more evidence? But how would I get that evidence? Because if I go to my mate and say, look, mate, I'm really sorry, but I think I saw your missus out with someone else the other night. And other than they didn't seem just friends. Do you know what I mean? And then he sort of goes into her and goes, what are you playing at? This is over. It's finished. You harlot, you whore. And, and leaves the house, the marital house. And that's down to me. And she comes to me afterwards and goes, no, it's just a mate from work. We were just, it's just a bit of fun, you know, nothing going on. Oh, shit.
Well,
but I mean, the whole thing would eat away at me. So I think ultimately I'd probably have to say something to my mate, but it would be a horrible thing. I'd probably try and tell them loads of times and duck out of it, bottle it. Be an awful situation to be in. I don't even really want to think about this situation, Ben. It's a horrible situation to be in.
Maybe I've picked the wrong topic for this podcast then.
What would you do?
It's definitely difficult. But I feel like if it was me and it was your fictitious other half,
yeah,
I don't think I could live with myself if I knew that she was doing the dirty on you and I didn't tell you. I think I'd have to. And I think
how would you tell me? Let's do the phone call now. You phone me up. Or would you want to do it in person? Would you meet up?
I'd do it in person.
All right. So you've come round the house. Let's reenact how it goes. Oh, mate. Great to see. I haven't seen you in ages because we've been doing all this remotely. But it's lovely for you to come round, but it's a bit out of the blue.
No worries.
All good. Everything good.
Yeah, I'm good. I'd be
a bit worried. You know, I'd be a little bit. It's like my dad came round today for no real reason. And my heart started to pound. I thought something's
wrong.
Who's
died?
Yeah. And it turned out there was a reason he needed to pick up a tool. But my heart was fluttering to start with. So I think, well, this is weird. There's something wrong here. So I'm a bit on edge here, Ben. I'm a bit on edge, I'll be honest.
Okay. So I think it would go along the lines of, okay, mate, I'm just going to let you know, and I might have got the wrong end of the stick here, it might be as innocent as anything, and I might be completely in the wrong. You know what I'm like. I'm a fucking idiot at the best of times.
Yeah.
I was out for lunch with Mrs. Ben the other day, and I happened to see your girlfriend being very affectionate and very flirty and possibly a little bit overboard with some other guy who I don't recognise and I don't know.
I mean, she is very tactile. She's a very tactile person.
Yeah, I mean, it could be nothing. I just wanted to give you the heads up because I couldn't live with myself if there was something.
Are you telling me she's cheating on me? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Are you saying it, Ben? You're saying that this is over? You know,
I'm getting the impression this conversation ends with a single shotgun blast. And I'm not sure which one of us gets it.
Oh, it's a party popper as well. Yes, I think ultimately, we'd have to tell. You've got to tell the person, but man, what a conversation to have. I hope I'm never really in that situation. That's just a horrendous place to be.
Would you like one more?
Well, at least one more, yeah.
At least one more, okay.
It's good.
So your remaining choices are
a
difficult choice. No, I'm going to blow through these so we don't do that again. A difficult choice, an office theft, midnight death, get rich, telling a secret.
What was it, midnight theft?
Well, if you weren't making so much fucking noise, it was an office theft or a midnight death.
Well, let's go for the office theft.
Okay, an office theft.
Yeah.
You're in charge of the petty cash at the office.
A very high-profile job. We got the right man for the job.
However, a co-worker is responsible for making a weekly trip to the bank to make the business deposit and obtain petty cash for the following week.
Oh, I hope I've checked criminal records checks and everything are in place.
In a conversation with your mutual supervisor, you are asked if the increase in the petty cash amount was enough. You, however, have not seen any additional money. You realise your co-worker has been pocketing the additional money. Do you? Tell your supervisor you have neither asked for nor received any additional petty cash and that you suspect your co-worker is pocketing the money.
Mm-hmm.
Tell your co-worker your suspicions and give them a chance to pay the money back.
Mm-hmm.
Or say nothing and wait to see what happens. Or, of course, option D, what would Trev do?
I mean, a lot's going to depend on my relationship with this co-worker. You know, are we good friends? Are they simply a colleague?
I'd say if the jeopardy was it's a good friend, it would have specified that. I say this is a work environment and this is just a colleague.
Well,
a colleague who is a human being who needs to pay their bills and feed their children,
yeah,
of course.
The thing is, are they an arsehole? You know, I've worked with enough people that you just think, God, I wish you would fuck off. And then if there was an opportunity there, you know, let's take it. Possibly my first port of call would be to talk to the person and say, look, you're rumbled. I know what's going on. You're going to lose the job if this continues. I think that money needs to get back in now. I'm going to give you 24 hours. And if the money's not back in, I'm afraid I'm going to have to escalate this situation.
I can't do it, Trev. I've been using it to pay the rent. If I don't take that extra money, and I won't pay my rent, and my landlord will kick me out, and my wife will leave me, and my kids will go hungry.
Well, what are you going to do? Give me a solution. What are you going to do to remedy this situation? How much money have you taken?
Well, you could pay it back, Trev, no one needs to know.
I could pay it back.
Yeah. Because my wife and that.
Yeah. We're only colleagues, remember? Like, there's no...
I've always thought of you like a brother.
Well, it's not been a mutual feeling there.
My rich brother.
You've been someone that I've happened to work with for several years. I've always thought there was something a little bit dodgy about you. No, look, you've got to pay the money back, mate. I don't care how you do it. It's got to be back in 24 hours. I'm afraid you're done.
Okay, so you would pick option B. You tell your co-worker about your suspicions and give them a chance to pay it back.
I think so. I think that's what I'd do. I think otherwise, because if you go to the supervisor, you know that they're definitely going to lose the job then, right?
Well, if you give them if you tell them your suspicions and then give them a chance to pay it back, you are then opening a brief window of time where they can run to the supervisor and say, I think Trev's been skimming money off the petty cash till, and then you're fucked.
I didn't think of that.
Yeah, you got to be quick.
Oh, fuck it. No, they're gone. I'm going straight to the top. I'm ratting him out. No question. He's done. He's gone.
Fair enough.
Right. Let's do another one. This is good fun.
Okay. Your remaining ones you can pick from this week are A Difficult Choice, Midnight Death, Get Rich, and Telling a Secret.
Let's do the... what was it? Midnight Death.
Midnight Death. Okay. You have worked years to be successful in your father's business. You felt you were obligated to take over as he worked his whole life to build the business left to him by his father. However, the large businesses in town have seriously cut into profits for several years, and your family have just managed to scrape by. Your father's health has declined, and he's been hospitalized.
Oh no.
He has a substantial life insurance policy that expires at midnight. If he dies before midnight, you will inherit enough money to pursue a career you have always dreamed of and provide adequately for your family. Do you pinch the oxygen line, making it possible for your dad to die, or smother him with a pillow?
Right, so there's no option of letting him go. Is it how are you going to finish him off is the question.
I didn't know they were this dark. Tell your dad the problem and let him suggest a solution and go by what he says.
Right.
Imagine that. Do nothing, as you cannot imagine living with yourself if you terminate your dad's life.
Wow. I mean, my first question is, why has he got this life insurance policy that's expiring at midnight? Why? I mean, I don't know much about life insurance, but that seems ridiculous. Surely the whole thing about life insurance is that there's no expiration until you expire.
Listen, my English teacher used to get very cross with me because I would pull plots apart with, why don't they just do this? This would solve everything. And she would say, Ben, it's a construct. Stop pulling the plot of Romeo and Juliet apart. Do your fucking paperwork and get your coursework in on time. Okay. So you have to just accept that your dad has this mysterious expiring at midnight health insurance.
Well, I think the first conversation I'd have with him before we move to the tricky conversation of his impending doom would be, who sold you this life insurance? Because I'm not going with them for my own. It's dodgy. They probably need to be reported to some sort of insurance ombudsman. I'm not going to kill him.
No, I didn't think you would, to be fair.
I'm not going
to
have that on my hands. I mean, if I had the conversation with him and said, look, Dad, it would be quite helpful if you were to shuffle off this mortal coil tonight, sort of before midnight, would be good.
I love it, the fact that there's someone from the insurance company who comes in with a clipboard and a timer staring at the clock on the wall.
Got a stopwatch. Sort of with the Mission Impossible music playing. Or Countdown. If he was to say, oh, well, fair enough, just pass the cyanide pill.
It's very reasonable of him.
Yeah, yeah. But if you're asking me to do the deed myself, absolutely not. My feeling is that I would just let the time go. Money's not really that important to me. It's the root of all evil and greed, as far as I'm concerned. So I think I'd let it pass. If you're asking me how I would do it if I had no choice, definitely the pillow. That's, I've often wondered how that would feel to smother somebody.
Okay.
Because
that's a worrying thing.
To pinch the oxygen line, that's an awful thing, because you'd see the contortions on the face as the oxygen was running out. Pillow over the face, you're not seeing any of that.
They're still dying from a lack of oxygen, but at least you're inconvenienced by the sight of it.
Yeah, you haven't got that to pop up in your dreams at night.
Trev, something slightly strange happened to me at work recently.
Right.
Basically, I went in to collect some post from a business I go to, which is what I do in the afternoons. I go to various businesses, collect what they've got. I'm not going to name any names because, I'll probably get the sack. But basically, this company specialise in providing people with wills.
Okay.
So I went in there the other day and I'm shoving all this stuff into my bag, and they've got a lot more than usual. And they've got a lot of these brown packets. And I noticed one of them had come open, and being the responsible, hardworking man I am, I pointed it out. I said, one of your packets has come open here. Do you want to tape it up? And she said, oh, yeah, thanks very much. And I helped her tape it up, and I said, do you think that'll be good enough? I don't want your stuff to come out and lose it in the post. And she said, oh, it doesn't matter. It's only seeds.
Seeds?
And I said, I'm really sorry. It's none of my business. But why are a company who are specializing in providing people with wills, why are you sending out seeds?
Yeah.
And she said,
good question.
Well, a bit nosy, I know, but you know what I'm like. And she said, don't ask me, it's some promotional nonsense. And I said, promotional? And she said, yeah. She said, it's something to do with, something to do with bees.
To do with bees?
And I said, so you do wills and these are seeds for bees? And she said, yeah, it's because, you come to us because we're the hive. She said, oh, don't ask. And I said, okay, sorry. And I left more perplexed than when I walked in.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
So it just sounded to me like it was the product of a horrible meeting that someone's had. Well, what do you do? Oh, we provide wills. Oh, well, we do seeds. We can work together.
Yeah.
We can have some sort of promotion here. And it just reminded me of those awful times when we were working on the radio and we had to go into these terrible meetings where we say, okay, well, we're a radio station. Who's our audience? Builders. Okay. Well, we've got a snooker club promoting something. how can we make an advert for that? And we've got to jam these two things together that don't work and come up with an advert for it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, seeds and wills, the only thing I can think is that you are, by making a will, you are sort of sowing the seeds for the future. You're going to leave some money, so there's some seeds being sown. That's the only possible link I can think of.
That was what I thought. But then they threw in this thing about bees and that being the hive, and that really threw me.
That doesn't make it. The hive is what you're leaving, the honey.
Oh, that's nice.
I don't know.
So I thought what would be a fun game is to do for the podcast what we had to do in these crappy little production meetings, which is take two things seemingly completely separate and come up with an advert where we jam them together. So I've asked you to come up with a list of 15 products.
Yes.
And I've come up with a list of 15 different professions.
Right, okay, yes.
So what we're going to do is we're going to use a random number generator.
Yeah.
And we're going to find out what we have to promote with what company.
So we're going to do company first. You're going to do your company first.
Okay, so I've got my numbers here. I'm going to hit generate now. Number 10.
Yeah.
Number 10 on my list is a pub chain.
A pub chain, okay.
Okay, so now if you go ahead and generate the product we have to promote with our pub chain.
Okay, do you want to generate a number?
Okay, I'm going to generate the number 6.
Okay, it's skis.
Okay, so we've got to come up with some way of making a promotion for our pub chain with a company providing skis.
So are we going to be giving, is the pub going to be giving away skis?
It could be, or a ski holiday perhaps. A
ski holiday, or it's just skis. There's going to be, you're going to end up with some skis here. I suppose there's a thing about going on the piste.
That's nice, yes.
You're going to go out on the piste. That's going to be the tagline, surely.
Well, I love it. It's a, you know, like a bit of good wordplay as much as the next guy, but yeah. You've got to bear in mind the sort of head of production here who would be sitting at the table saying, I'm not sure we can associate our product with getting pieced.
Right, yeah.
The joke would fly over their head. We've got to keep them happy.
Right, so the ski company won't want that. They want to do a promotion with the pub company, but want to avoid anything about getting absolutely shit-faced. Because skiing and shit-faced, probably not a good combo, is it?
No, but we can flirt with the alcohol thing without maybe getting pieced.
Okay,
you know, like a ski trip, the beer goes down smoothly, perhaps.
Yeah, and after a few beers, everything goes downhill.
So, how do we give away the skis?
Why are they giving away the skis? Why has the pub chain done a deal?
Because some ski company's got too much money, and not enough sense.
Right. So the pub chain has got involved. Who's the pub chain is spearheading the campaign, right?
Yes.
So the skis are the add-on for the pub. So the pub's selling its wares. That's number one thing in the advert. So it's let's call the pub chain. I don't know. Let's come up with a name for the pub chain, or should we just use Wetherspoons?
Yeah, why not?
Right. So the pub chain is going to be Wetherspoons, the place for all your drinking needs. And this October, you can get yourself a snazzy pair of skis because that's where the advert's got to carry on from.
Yes, I like that.
So you can win some pair of skis in Wetherspoons because. Because people normally go into Wetherspoons wearing slippers and we no longer want people wearing slippers in our pubs.
You know what? We've been to some Wetherspoons before, and if someone was in there wearing skis, we wouldn't really give it a second thought, would we?
Think twice, would you?
No.
Well, let's ask why the ski company has... Why are they looking to get involved? What are they... They just got too many skis. There must be something that they've seen in the pub company that gives them some ideas for this.
I like the idea of maybe the head on a pint representing snow.
Yes, that's not a bad idea. Maybe, right, here's the competition. You know, like in Guinness, you can draw a little picture in the head.
Yes.
Maybe there's some sort of art competition. If you buy a certain pint, let's say it's Guinness, and you have to come up with a decent bit of ski art in the top of the pint, and then there'll be a judging panel who will then award the skis to the best. Let's say it happens every Saturday night. So that night, the best ski art in the Guinness wins you some skis.
Can I just be that, you know, that arsehole in the meeting who has to, you know, just take your good idea and tweak it slightly?
Yeah, yeah.
Can we just say it's Sunday so there can be Ski Sunday?
Ski Sunday. There we go.
It takes part on Sundays.
So the music on the advert is the Ski Sunday theme.
Yes, now very much like our radio show days, there has to be some really unnecessary level of difficulty to entering the competition.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's it.
I'd suggest that the players have to go in on a Sunday, buy their pint of Guinness.
Yeah.
They have to enter. Then they have to draw their best ski artwork in the foam of the Guinness.
Yeah.
Then they have to download an app.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, you've got to make it really complicated. Download an app.
Upload a picture of their artwork to the app, and then it gets voted on.
Okay. So then other people in the pub will get an alert. If they've already got the app, they will get an alert that a new picture has been uploaded and they can mark it out of 10.
Yeah.
And perhaps this could be nationwide as well. So it's like every Wetherspoon pub has a ski Sunday. And throughout the whole day, these are just being marked. And at the end of the ski Sunday, the player across the whole nation who gets the highest, well, every person who votes it 1 to 10. And whoever's got the highest mark at the end of that Sunday wins some skis.
Now, I don't want to get political, but I'm pretty sure that Mr. Wetherspoon's bloke was fairly pro-Brexit.
Yes.
So does that kind of exclude our ski holiday that you win being anywhere in Europe?
You don't get a ski holiday. You're just getting skis.
Okay.
You know, there's no holiday involved. You're just getting some skis.
Okay.
So there we go. So Ski Sunday, we've got the theme tune. Who could be the voiceover for the commercial? We could do with someone. Is there anyone we know that's, you know, does a lot of skiing?
I don't know. I'm not sure I could tell you any sort of Olympic voices. Can you?
No, I mean, I used to watch Ski Sunday as a kid, but I couldn't tell you any of the names of the skiers.
Well, it doesn't have to be, of course, someone who is necessarily related to skiing. It can be someone whose name is loosely based on a pun around skiing.
Yeah, okay. So Jon Snow.
Jon Snow.
Jon Snow can do the voiceover.
There you go.
A 70-odd-year-old newsreader, perfect.
Yes.
He's the perfect voice for this campaign. I mean, the other option would be you get the man who played Jon Snow in Game of Thrones, Kit Harington. He's more sexy, I suppose.
That is true. He does have the sex appeal, but you have to remember this is a radio advert.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
And I would argue Jon Snow, the newsreader, has a more recognisable voice.
Right, so Jon Snow's voicing it, Ski Sunday music in the background, just need the tagline.
Okay, so we've got the competition.
On the piste.
I just think someone will have a problem with it being associated with alcohol abuse.
Okay, what about paint the town white?
It's not really anything to do with painting, though, is it?
No, it's to do with the head. Anything to do with head? Beer head.
We'll get there. Yeah. This used to be why they paid us the big bucks, Trev.
It is a shit pun, isn't it? Normally,
yeah.
I mean, in our meetings, generally what used to happen is someone would come up with the pun and then go, so how's this going to work? And you go, fucking hell, we've got the fucking shit pun. Now we've got to do the legwork to make this work. But you could have just something like Ski Sunday, nice.
Oh, I like that.
It would be
that
sort of shit, wouldn't it?
Are we okay to just completely steal Ski Sunday, or do we need to have our own name for it?
I think Ski Sunday will be fine.
Okay.
So, Wetherspoons, the pub that's there for the people. And this October, you can win a pair of skis in our Ski Sunday competition. You got to pretend this is Jon Snow doing the voice.
Yep.
Ski Sundays. Nice.
I love it, except you haven't explained how the competition works in any way.
We don't need to do that. That's all. Download the app for all the
T's
details.
T's and C's apply. Yeah.
Well, there we are. That's it for episode 100. I enjoyed that advert thing. I think we should make that like a regular feature. That was good fun.
I think so. I enjoyed that.
Let's do that every week until we get tired. But, yeah, that's a brand new feature as we enter a new century of the Trev and Ben podcast. Something to look forward to as we move forward. As always, we finish with a recommendation. I've got one for you this week. It's a program on Netflix. It's called Lupin.
Lupin?
Lupin. It's French.
Okay.
Lupin! Or Lupin, if you don't want to do the accent. So it's about this guy who's essentially a criminal, but he's sort of an anti-hero, really. And he has learnt his tricks through these... I think they're real books about this character called Lupin, who's a gentlemanly burglar.
Right? Okay.
But there's a whole story, backstory about his father and then this evil sort of overlord-type character. And there's two seasons. It is very good. It's in French. You can watch it with the subtitles. I think on Netflix you can have a dubbed version, but I don't like watching dubbed versions. The kind of movement of lips not matching the words does my head in.
Okay, fair enough.
I'd much rather read and hear the French. But that's just me. If whatever you like, it's well worth a watch. And there's a third series to come.
Okay, that sounds good.
So there we are. That's it for episode 100. Just want to say a huge thank you to everyone who has downloaded and listened to this podcast, whether you've been with us from the start or just found us. We're very grateful for your support.
Yeah, thank you.
And for anyone that's been on the podcast, we've had some great fun over the first 100.
I would say everyone who's been on this podcast has been infinitely more interesting and knowledgeable than us. So much appreciation.
Well, thank you very much for listening and downloading. Don't forget you can get in touch with us anytime. We're at Trev and Ben on Twitter. And we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.